This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
Yeah. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Outside the Round with me, Matt Barile. Today, a very special guest. He's a boy from Alabama, from Birmingham, one of my favorite states in the country. I claim it as my third or fourth home, depending on how you look at it. I've spent a lot of time down there. He's been crushing it. He's been out on the road. He recently got up here to town. We've got our boy, Miles Morgan.
Brother. What's going on?
Thank you for joining me on a Monday morning, dog.
It's an honor to be here. I'm so excited.
Dude, and this is the first podcast?
First podcast I've ever done.
Let's go. I am so honored to be your first, brother. Well, how has life been treating you here? Because it's been about a month or two since I've seen you.
Yep, it's been going really good. We've been busy. We just started first fall tour, the I Still Got It tour, and we've gone and opened for some cool people and done some headline stuff. We still got a lot of stuff to do for the rest of the fall, but yeah, I just moved to Nashville like a month ago now, or a month and a half ago, and I'm fresh, but I'm having a good time meeting as many people as I can.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I see you out at the bars pretty frequently where you're out there networking, and the guys that you have in your band, and you guys all moved up together, right?
Well, a couple of them already lived here. Jack Mills, you know about Jack.
Yes.
He lives in Nolensville, so he's not too far. And then, but we all met at the University of Alabama. So, and then my drummer, he lives in Manchester, so he wasn't too far. And then guitar player lives in Huntsville. So
okay,
it's
right
all it's
border.
All pretty close.
Yeah, and that's one of the beauties of being from a place like Alabama. You're not far from Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many guys that come up when they need to, whether it's in Alabama, Georgia, or Mississippi, where you're in one of those border states. So it's nice. And growing up in Birmingham, one of the, to me, the most underrated music cities and music states is Alabama. Like, the guys and girls that have come out of there, even in the past decade, I mean, you look at the Rileys, the Muscadine Boys, who I'm close with, Trey Lewis, Ella Langley, Jamie Johnson, and you go back to talking of, you have a Mills in your band, and the king of Alabama, Wayne Mills. What's it like coming from the local scene of Alabama, just growing up with music around you?
It's awesome. Riley in particular has been a huge inspo of mine and an influence of me since before I even started doing music. I've always been a huge music fan, and Riley was one of the first guys that I was like, man, I really like this guy. And then I found out he was from Bama, and I was like, I like him even more now. He's a quarterback at JSU. So, but yeah, I was a sporty guy myself. I played baseball and played football and basketball when I was younger, but baseball my whole life. But Bama people I've always resonated with, and I've been a Bama fan my whole life. So anyone and everyone is, I mean, there's a ton of country music legends that come out of Alabama. So it's been a pleasure to get to meet some of these people and work with them.
Yeah, and getting to go to school in T-Town in Tuscaloosa. And I always tell people, I'm like, if you haven't been, even if you don't go down for a football weekend, which I got to go to an Iron Bowl a few years ago, it was freaking awesome.
It's like, but best game ever.
But the music scene of just how many venues are down there. Like, I know Two Dimes just opened up.
Yep.
I know that, like, Gletz, Red Shed, I believe you guys have a an Innisfree down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys have Rounders. Like, there's so many spots for you guys to come up and play. So were you doing that when you were in school?
Absolutely. So I'm born in Birmingham, and then I spent like my whole life in Birmingham until senior year of high school. I lived up on 280, and then junior year of high school is when I got a guitar for the first time. I'm going to go into the
full story. Yeah, do it. Hit it, man. Hit it.
So junior year of high school, I was playing baseball. I went to Spain Park High School, and I got a guitar that year, started picking around, like I was telling you about Riley Green. He was one of the first, like, most of the first songs that I was learning were all Riley Green songs, just because that's...
Like, where in the catalog? Like, what songs?
Like, the Outlaws Like Us type era.
Oh, the
different round
Bury Me
here.
And Dixie,
yeah,
that
yeah,
era.
Yeah. That was, like, second song I ever learned. So, yeah, I was picking around a little bit, wasn't doing a whole lot, and then senior year, I moved to Orange Beach and started playing baseball over there, and that was really what opened up, like, me starting to play actual gigs and stuff, and... the first show that I ever played, I got to where I could play like 8 songs, and I was going around with my dad in the truck one day, and I was like, I'm going to go knock on some doors of some restaurants and see who I can play for. So went to GT's on the Bay. If you've been down to Orange Beach, you know where that is. And I went to Doc Seafood. They're booked up for the summer. Everybody I went to was like, sorry, kid, we're booked up. And I was like, yeah, I figured. But we went to go eat lunch at this place called Jenny Lane, which is like tucked away in the back of the wharf. And, I was like, hey, I'm not really looking for a spot to play like right now, but if y'all have got any openings anytime soon, I'd love to try to play a solo acoustic gig, and they're like, oh shoot, well, we actually just had a cancellation for Friday, and it was a Wednesday, and they were like, yeah, you can play from 6 to 9, and it's the concert, Whiskey Myers concert that night. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was also Cinco de Mayo. Oh. So it was going to be like huge. And I agreed to it knowing how to play like 8 songs. And I was like, I got to go learn like a million songs right now.
3 hours worth of music. Right.
So I went back to the table and I was like, Dad, I got a gig, but we got to learn some music like right now. So I went home the next night or that night and learned like 40 songs or something. And they were all Riley Green songs. And yeah. It was like Riley and Morgan. And then came back and played on that Friday. And it was crazy. I've still never seen that many people at Jenny Lane Steakhouse before. There was a rain delay before the concert. And so all the people that were going to go early, like, got trapped at the wharf, and they all piled into Jenny Lane. There was like 300 people in there.
Wow.
Standing around. And I'm like scared to death. Never played a song in front of anybody before. So that was a fun first experience. But you're talking about Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
So, I kept playing over the summer, in Orange Beach. I started playing. Then Doc saw that I was playing at Jenny Lane all the time, and they were like, hey, come play for us. It's
funny how the bar gigs work, where so they see, they're like, oh, wait, this kid's doing well here. Let's get him at our joint. Exactly. And then you can book out a whole weekend in one town at 3 or 4 different places.
Mm-hmm. So we started playing along the coast that summer, and I got pretty comfortable playing solo acoustic gigs. And then before I went to Bama for freshman year, I got an opportunity to play at the Floribama for the first time.
God bless the mm-hmm. Floribama.
Oh my gosh. One of the greatest places on earth.
Dude, it is like you're living in a Riley Green or a Kenny Chesney song, and everybody has come up playing the main room upstairs, or playing the dome stage, or playing out at the Yacht Club. Yep. Or, dude, one of my absolute favorite places. We're going there in November for the Frank Brown Songwriters Festival.
I just played there last year.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's a super cool event.
Yeah, it's our first time going down there for the Songwriters Festival. But yeah, that's a awesome. Special place, man. I always tell people, get your start at the Bama.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. If I was going to recommend anybody to start doing music, go work your way into the Floribama and be cool and make friends with everybody over there, because those are the best people you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
And so I did play at the Yacht Club. That was the first gig. And then went to Tuscaloosa. Here we go. And I realized I'd been seeing a bunch of people play at the Bama, and I was like, everybody's got a full band. I don't have a band. I don't know what to do. I got to start asking people around for a band. But I knew Jack. And I actually met him at the Floribama, funny enough.
Wow.
And I met him senior year. There's a guy named River Dan playing that night.
I know River Dan. Yeah. I know River Dan. I know Big Earl. I know all those characters. Yeah.
So River Dan was up there ripping it, and Jack got on stage and played a song with River Dan. I was like, this kid's sick. Like,
yeah.
I need to be friends with this guy. So stayed in touch with Jack, and then we were talking on FaceTime the whole summer, like, can't wait to go to Tuscaloosa, dude. And he's a grade behind me, so I was... he was still in high school when I was a freshman over there. But we got there, and I was, like, looking around for some band members and trying to ask people that I knew and texting in the Tuscaloosa bands group me, like, hey, somebody play bass or something?
That is how you know it is a great college town for music, when there is a right. Tuscaloosa band guys group me.
Yeah, there's, like, 300 people in a group me, and they're all just musicians.
That's awesome.
So I got put in that, and I was like, okay, now I can find some people. But yeah. Jack got to Tuscaloosa, and that's when we really started playing. We were playing at Galette's on game days, and we were playing at Innisfree. We were playing at Rhythm and Brews, Copper Top, all those places. And I love that. It was special being able to play the same rooms that Wayne played when he was in Tuscaloosa, and doing it with Jack. It's super cool. So, but playing in Tuscaloosa is so much fun.
You learn how to entertain a crowd that's dialed into you, but you learn how to play in front of a crowd that might not give a fuck that you're on the stage.
Exactly.
Might not give a damn. Like, they're just in there drinking, having their Thirsty Thursday or their game day eve on a Friday or mm-hmm. pregame or postgame. But then you learn how to win them over.
Yep. Not everybody's looking for the music or who's playing or wants to pay attention to you. And you figure that out the hard way sometimes. But
then you have to win them over.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You learn how to.
Mm-hmm.
You learn how to, oh, the room's packed. Now is when I'm going to play Dixieland Delight. Mm-hmm. You know, like you save your heavy hitters for when you have them dialed in, man.
That's right.
What were those early gigs in T-Town like, man?
They were crazy. I'm trying to think back to the first gig I played in Tuscaloosa. I played Galette's pretty early. It's funny enough, do you know Derek Purdy?
Yeah.
So he owns Galette's. and we've been buddies with him for a little bit. But Kevin Meads is my agent now with WME, and one day I was playing a Gillette's game day over there, and Kevin just happened to be there, and I got introduced to him randomly, like half a year before I even knew that any of this stuff was going to happen. And so, I mean, you never know who you're going to run into.
Yeah.
And so I was just meeting as many people as I could, and I played like 3 or 4 game days at Gillette's, and then I know I played at Druid City Social one time, and then I played multiple gigs at Rhythm. That's definitely...
Rhythm and Brews is a spot to cut your teeth, if there ever has been one.
That's probably one of my favorites, if not my favorite places to play in Tuscaloosa. That's a fun venue.
What separates it from a Gillette's or a Copper's Hop or one of those other ones? Because you have so many options down there.
It's kind of like... Well, first of all, the stage and the actual just room that you have to work with is a much better setup than some of the other venues. Like, you got a cool light show and you got someone who's actually running sound, and the point of being there is to listen to music, and it's kind of like the only honky tonk bar over there.
Yeah.
So people are definitely there to hear you and have a good time and get drunk, listen to music. So it's good environment for the crowd, and then you get a big stage to run around on, have fun. So
yeah, man, you learn how to perform. And that was the thing that when I first saw you play, because I think the first time we saw you play was in the parking lot.
At CMA Fest. Mm-hmm.
Where I got to introduce you and Timmy McKeever and a lot of the other young bucks. And that was such a cool opportunity.
Too.
Yeah, man, he's a great kid.
Bottomland was there that day, too.
Yeah, Bottomland was there. I'm going to be seeing them in a couple weeks in Texas. It's but I remember watching you play and I was like, oh, shit. I can tell this kid came up in the scene where he had to learn, because there's a lot of guys and girls that have something pop and don't know how to play a show. Mm-hmm. I feel like getting that experience young and getting reps with your guys and knowing how to get in front of people prepares you for that.
Yep. You gotta learn quick how to put on a show and make the people who's watching you love you. And the only thing I do is just go out there and try not to worry about anything. Obviously you get nervous every time you go on stage before you go on stage. I always say, like, if you're not getting nervous, there's something wrong, because you should be. It doesn't matter if you're going out in front of 3 people or 30,000 people. Like,
yeah, man, and you move around. High
energy.
That's
what I was going to say. I'm very high energy on stage. I'm trying to pump up the crowd and pump myself up. You had me going crazy because you gave me that insane intro, and you were like, I was ready to run through a brick wall, dude. Like, I was
that's
hyped.
Awesome.
It was fun.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's what I like to do, is I want to make whoever's coming and playing, whether it's a writer's round or it's one of our full band things or I'm at a festival, I want to make whoever I'm introducing feel like the most important person in that moment. Because you are. People are there to watch the music, and you're the guy that's doing it. And the guys in the house band are the guys that are doing it. The guys in your band are the guys that are doing it, or girls playing rounds or whatever. You know, it's so now getting to be on the road, you've gotten to go up to New Jersey, right?
Yes. That was crazy.
That's my old stomping grounds. I'm a New York boy, so I used to do shows all up and down Jersey. Where in Jersey was that again?
It was
Wildwood?
Yes, Wildwood. It was for Barefoot Country Music Fest.
That place, Wildwood, that is our, like, where you go and make bad decisions when you're like your high school senior week. When you're in New York, you go down, the whole senior class goes down to Wildwood and like gets tattoos, the airbrush t-shirts. It's like our version of Panama City.
That's
is Wildwood.
Awesome.
I saw Tim McGraw there back in my drinking days years ago on the 4th of July, and it was crazy. So I can only imagine a full-scale festival there.
That was the first time I'd ever been to, like, really up north and seen a place like that. And it was so cool because I didn't know what to expect as far as the people.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I don't know if we're going to get a bunch of northerner assholes or we're going to get some nice people.
Do these people even like country music?
Right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's insane. They're, like, the nicest people ever. And it's a very cool culture and community up there, because they definitely have their own thing, but they're almost, or at least the part of Wildwood that I was in, or, you know, around that area, they were as welcoming and warm as Southern people. They just do their own thing. They're just Northerners.
And we appreciate the music because we don't get it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Syracuse University or University of Albany or Rutgers, there's not a country band playing.
Right.
You know, like, we only get it in spurts. I used to drive 4, 5, 6 hours to go to a concert. Like, because it was so sparse. Yeah, like, I'd see Brantley Gilbert in Maine, or I'd see Dierks Bentley, like, 4 hours away in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Because we didn't have the shows all the time, you know? So there's people that will travel from all over the place to get down there. And you got to play one of the side stages down there, right?
And I played a side stage on the second day, I believe, but I was on the main stage on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
That was super cool. There was I mean, I've never been. Actually, the first opportunity that I had like that was put on by the same people. It was CCMF.
Oh, yeah. And that's bucket. I haven't been to that one, but we go to a lot of festivals. That's a bucket list festival for us.
Oh, my
Carolina
gosh.
Country Music Fest. That's a huge one. That in Myrtle, right?
Mm-hmm. That was first time I've been to Myrtle Beach, too. And it was raining big time this past festival. So, like, things did not go according to plan. But it worked out perfectly because we got to go do our set. And then immediately after we were done, it was rain delay. And so we were like the last people to play that day until nighttime and Megan Maroney came on. I was like, well, that worked out pretty good because we drove all the way up here and may not be able to play, but we got it in. So, but yeah, that CCMF was awesome. BCMF was awesome. Getting to meet all those people. And I mean, these people have been idols of mine for a long time, and I just get to be like, hey, I'm Miles, how you doing? And you know, have a conversation with them.
Yeah, what's been a cool experience of meeting like one of the OGs or one of the guys or girls doing it for a while now?
I mean, at Barefoot, I got to meet Lainey Wilson, and she was super, super down to earth.
Yeah.
And she knows all about Alabama and the whole scene, and I got to talk to her about what I'm doing, what I came up doing. She's like one of the nicest people I've ever met.
She's always been like that.
Yeah,
like,
you can tell.
I met her when I first moved to town back in 2018, mm-hmm. and she was still playing rounds at that point. Like she was just getting ready to sign her deal.
She cut her teeth for a while.
Yeah, man. And coming up playing in bars like you, mm-hmm. you know, like that same thing that you and your guys were doing, her and her guys were doing, you know?
Yep. So I was just trying to meet as many people as I could. I met Sam Barber and I met Avery Anna. They were both there at Barefoot, and Warren Ziders was up there, and everybody's just so cool. Like everyone's down to have a conversation and be cool with you. It's awesome. Man,
it's a big family.
Mm-hmm.
And you coming in like you are and other guys and girls coming in, you're like the little brothers, the little sisters. You're like the thing, because not too long ago, Sam Barber and Avery Anna were in your shoes.
Yeah.
Like within the last 4 years, 3 years, you know? So mm-hmm. it's they understand it, man. And growing up, did you go to a lot of concerts?
I went to an Eric Church concert when I was really little. And actually, my first concert I ever went to was a Justin Bieber concert.
Oh, okay.
I was 8 years old and I had no idea what to expect, but I had Bieber fever.
Was
when
that
I was
BJCC?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Do you know that concert? You're saying, yeah.
Venue. I know BJCC. Was there something special about that one?
I don't know. I mean, not that I can remember. It was a long time ago, but I just know that was the first one. And then I went to Eric Church. And then when I turned 10, I went to go see Jason Aldean at the Wharf.
Oh, yeah.
And Florida Georgia Line and Tyler Farr were playing with him. I was like, this is so sick.
Yeah, dude. What's so cool about looking back on shows like that is who the openers were.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my first time seeing Aldean. It was at Madison Square Garden. It was my senior year of high school, so 2013. And it was Aldean, Jake Owen, Barefoot Blue Jean Knight had just come out. Like,
man.
Jake Owen was freaking going for it. And then Thomas Rhett was opening solo acoustic.
Yeah.
He had, like, Beer with Jesus, like, the early, early baby Thomas Rhett. Like,
that is
12
so
years
crazy.
Ago.
Like, it's funny seeing superstars being openers.
Yeah,
like,
man. Everybody does it. And that's what you're doing now. You've gotten to open some shows with Miranda Lambert.
Yep.
Right? What was that like?
We've opened for Miranda. We just played State Fair of West Virginia with Miranda, and that was so awesome.
West Virginia is a very different place.
Yes, and they love country music over there. They are ready to get down. They were raised rowdy, for sure.
Yeah.
But that was a super cool experience. We got to drive up there. We just got a couple Sprinter vans, so that's what we're touring the country right now in. And
there's something special about being in a van with your boys.
Oh, yeah.
There's something special. That's what it was like when I was with Muscadine. It was before they had gotten the bus, right before COVID. And then a lot of my trade touring was done in a van.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about being with your guys. You start out the run. You're so excited. It's like 7 or 8 hours to the first gig. And then
always problems.
There's always something.
Yep.
A trailer wheel bearing will go out or something. Or the AC will cut off or the heat will cut off or something happens. But there's just something about that bonding of being in a closed space.
Oh, yeah.
With your guys.
100%.
It's like family, man. Like, all you guys
are necessary.
It is. It's a step that you have to take. You can't just get to the bus or the private jet right away.
No.
You know?
No, you gotta make it happen first. But West Virginia was amazing. We went up there and got to see Soundcheck, and that was the first time I've been in just a huge, looked to me like an arena type venue. Yeah. And I just saw all the stands and I was like, this is crazy.
There's going to be a person in every seat.
Oh, I know. There was like 8,500 people there. And I was like, this is ridiculous. But we saw soundcheck and all the behind the scenes. That was first time I had my own like green room type thing with my name on the door. And I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And so, yeah, we were. And then Miranda was super, super great, as usual. She put on a show. And she got done, and I got to go up and talk to her because Joey is really close with Miranda.
Yeah, man. He's been there since her square one.
Oh, yeah. And he was talking to her about me before that show, and she got off the bus after, and she was like, hey, Miles, great job up there. Just wanted to come say what's up to you. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is so cool. But she was super nice, and, yeah, it's amazing getting to do all this stuff. I'm just trying to make the most of it.
Dude, I'd say you are, and I'm looking at the dates you have coming up here. And you're going to some of my, like, it's cool because not too long ago, with Trey and Muscadine, we were doing these same venues, like mm-hmm. Wendell's Dip and Branch, one of the rowdiest little honky tonks in existence, man.
Yep.
Ashland Craft used to be the house band there. Like, I love that place.
Really?
Ned Kelly's we'll talk about it off the mic, one of the most chaotic nights in touring that I ever experienced in my 5 years. Show was great. When I was with Trey, and Ella opened up for Statesboro, Georgia, one of my favorite. Have you been to Statesboro before?
I haven't.
Bro, you're going to love it. You and the boys, Statesboro, it's the birthplace of bro country. It's where like Luke Bryan, Cole Swindell, Gavin Adcock, Dylan Marlowe, it's where all of them came up.
That's
like,
so sick.
Similar to T-Town, where it's a college town that just loves music.
Yep.
And you're playing at Southern Social, that'll be sick. Eddie's Attic, that'll be like a cool, intimate kind of show. Gillette's, how cool is it to go back to Gillette's and like be playing your own show versus think of all the game days that you played at Rhythm and Brews and Gillette's and Copper Top, and now you're getting to go back there and play your show.
It's awesome. It really is. Like, going to play a headline show and play your original music and put your own show on and doing it at the same place is definitely full circle moment.
And but the family's going to be there, man. You have a supportive family.
Oh, yeah.
Because they all came up when we had you play at Duck Blind. I was like a month or two ago,
yeah.
I think, maybe 3 months ago. Time freaking flies. But I remember like you had a big contingency of like homies that came up.
I've definitely got to give a huge shout out to my mom and my dad. They're always here for me, and they've been there for me from the very beginning. Like, once they realized I wanted to go all in with country music, they were like, all right, if we're gonna do it, we gotta do it the right way. And we sat down and tried to start figuring it out. Like, we're gonna go all the way diving into it. So they travel all the time. My dad works in Birmingham, and he's trying to come up to Nashville as much as he can. Still go down. He's got a construction company in Orange Beach, so he's got to go down there all the time.
Construction in Orange Beach. He stays busy.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
he stays very busy.
So they're burning up the road, but they're always at every single gig they can come to. And yeah. They've been very supportive.
Yeah, man. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I do not.
Oh, so you're...
Only child.
Only child, man.
Yep.
What's it like growing up as an only child? Because I had a brother and sister that were 2 years younger than me that were twins.
Yep.
But I never... I can't imagine like being an only child, but I guess it makes you closer with your parents that way, right?
For sure. I definitely have a brother-like relationship with my dad, I would say.
That's cool to hear.
Yeah, it's super cool. He's like my dad, but also he's like my best friend, and we definitely like butt heads sometimes, but
yeah.
It is what it is. It's normal stuff. But yeah, it's sometimes I wish I had a brother that's like around my age, because my dad does have a brother, and he's almost identical person. Like, they look the same. They're both 6'5" and huge. They talk the same. When they're having a conversation at family dinners and stuff, it's like hilarious. So
what's your uncle's name?
Mike.
Uncle, yeah. Mike.
Mike and Steve.
Mike and Steve.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So but yeah, sometimes I wish I had a brother just to be wild with and go get in trouble and stuff. But I've got a lot of best friends that I consider brothers, so we've had our fair share.
Yeah, man, you got four guys with you on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got your brothers.
Oh, yeah.
You got your touring family, too, mm-hmm. You know, man. I'm looking at these other rooms, too. You get to go to Hattiesburg. Brewski's one of my favorite. Or you get to play Proud Larry's in Oxford.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Fun.
I'm excited for that.
SEC country's just different. You know it from growing up in growing up around Bama and stuff. Like, it's just the kids there in those college towns just love music.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
And so many guys come up doing that. Like, that's the Corey Smith, Brantley Gilbert, Muscadine Bloodline, Riley Green, John Langston, Honeyhole, yeah. Going to those rooms, you know? So that's like the way you gotta, that's the perfect way to get your feet wet doing touring, mm-hmm. is for your first tour to be in the fall when school's in session too.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. We just opened for Muscadine recently, like last week. Or
yeah,
something.
That was down at the,
that was at Sand Mountain Amphitheater in Albertville.
Yeah.
That place is super nice.
Yeah, that's like a newer, that hasn't been there that long, mm-hmm. has it?
No, I think they put a lot of money into Albertville recently, and that's one of the nicest venues I've ever been to. It was awesome. And yeah. Muscadine, you said you've been close with them for a little bit. They're great guys.
Yeah, man, they're great dudes. And again, there's something about when you tell a Riley or an Ella or a Trey or a Gary or a Charlie or a Jamie, hey, I'm from Alabama too. There's this instant connection. Did you get to have any interaction with those guys?
Oh, yeah. So I told you, I want to go into the story. I also forgot to tell this of like how I started being able to make music in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. But so when I was living in Birmingham, junior year of high school, when I was first starting to play, there's a golf tournament that happens every year over the summer called Regents Tradition. And we would always go over there and try to go to the pro-am and meet all the celebrities. I got a selfie with Nick Saban. I was trying to meet all the people.
Big, yeah.
But I saw that Riley was going to be there, and I was a big Riley fan. And this is around the time when I was trying to start learning my first five songs, and four out of the five were Riley songs.
Yeah.
And so I brought my guitar to the golf course and a Sharpie, and I like rent and tracked him down and found him. I was like, hey, my name's Miles. I live in Birmingham and I love your stuff, dude. Like, could you please sell my guitar? And he was like, heck yeah, dude. Hope I'm opening for you one day. And that was the first time I had an interaction with him. And then one of my best friends at Orange Beach, I played baseball with him senior year. His stepdad is John McGinnis, who owns the Floor Band. Trip Carter's his name. But yeah. I've been buddies with Trip for a while. And every time I go down to Orange Beach, I'm always at John's house with Trip and hanging out with all those guys. And they're like super close with Riley. And there's been multiple nights at this point where Riley's come and hung out with us. And we went to the Floorama together, and Riley always gets up on stage when he goes to the Floorama.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
then more recently, like during around the time of CMA Fest, when that was happening, I'm going to Losers all the time, 'cause I live right behind Losers. I live at the Morris, and, Riley's there all the time. So there's been a few times. I remember the first time I was like, on the back patio of Losers, and I was just hanging out with everybody, and the normal people were there, and Riley walked in. He was like, what's up Miles? And I was like, there is no way. Like, this is so cool. But Riley, and then I met Randy Hauser over there. Riley and Randy are super close. They just did that song together.
Yep,
that's awesome. Jamie I met over there. Ella I met over there. So actually, I forgot to tell you this. What's it called? Riley Green's
Duck Blind.
No, not Duck Blind. The Duckman Jam.
Yeah.
At the Floorama. It was last year. That was like the first time that I really got to spend some time with Riley and hang out with him. I was down there with Tripp and John and hanging out with all those guys, and Ella was there, and that was before Ella like really took off. Yeah. They hadn't even collabed yet. They hadn't done You Look Like You Love Me. She just had like Nicotine and a couple other songs, but Drake White was there too. That's another Alabama musician. That's awesome. I got to introduce myself to all those people, and that was special. And then from then on, I was like just being as cool as I could with them. So
yeah, man. And it's knowing that you do belong in mm-hmm. the room, you know, which is tough. 'Cause how old are you?
I just turned 21.
Yeah, you're a baby. Like, you're learning, like, to have the experiences that you've gotten to have so far at such a young age, mm-hmm. and having the mature and the skills to know your spot, but also be confident enough to go up to guys and girls and say, hey, I'm Miles. I do music too. I love your stuff. Like, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, you can't be afraid to go talk to anybody.
No, you can't, or nothing's going to happen. They're not going to come up to you.
Yeah.
You got to go up to them.
Exactly.
And it's all about carrying yourself. How do you think playing sports growing up has helped you with music?
Good question. I've been, obviously baseball is very much a team sport, but it's a mental sport more than I would say a lot of other sports are. And when things are not going good, you have to totally like just get in the headspace that everything's okay, and you know your abilities, and you're confident in yourself, and you know you gotta stay grounded a lot. And I would say baseball, just in life in general, definitely gave me a lot of good insight and ways to look at it when things are tough. Mind over matter. Like, if you don't mind, it don't matter. And when it's 110 degrees outside, you got to learn to love it. Like, yeah, you got to embrace it and enjoy it, and the hard stuff, just freaking eat it up, you know?
Yeah.
So that's definitely what it's helped me with.
Yeah, man. I've heard a lot of guys say that doing like travel ball or playing in high school makes it help with touring, because yes, it's like show day is game day.
Yes, for sure. It feels very similar.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great analogy, because I remember waking up on Miranda Day and I was like, I feel like I'm about to go play a baseball game right now.
Play the state championship.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I'm about
one
to go play the biggest game of my life. And there's a very similar process that goes into like pregame and pre-show, and you got to warm up and you got to get your mind right and feel loose and feel good. And it's all the same stuff. But I played travel ball growing up. I mean, I played baseball since I was like 3 years
old. What positions were you playing in the field?
Primarily middle infield. I was shortstop, second base. But I pitched all the way through. Sometimes played outfield. You know, I was utility guy, but switch hitter. So I did everything.
Switch hitter?
Yeah.
Damn.
I was trying to do everything.
Yeah.
I just love baseball.
Yeah.
It's
who were some of your favorite players growing up?
Javi Baez was always my favorite.
Oh,
player.
Okay. Those golden years when he was on the Cubs.
Oh,
man.
My gosh.
Those like 2012 to like 2017 Cubs were special,
yes,
man.
Yes, they were very special.
We had Rizzo in New York for a while, and I loved having him.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's a TV commentator. It's like we're at the age where it's like all the guys we grew up watching, like as kids, are like in the booth now, man.
It is crazy. But yeah, I'm definitely a big Cubs fan. I've been a Cubs fan for a long time. That was the first MLB game I ever went to. And hard not to be a Braves fan, too. I mean, yeah, I've been growing up going to Braves games.
Birmingham Barons.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've been to plenty
of Barons. I've been to plenty of Barons
games. You've probably been on that field.
I have. I played one of my summer ball games was on that field. We got to do some pretty cool stuff playing fall ball and summer ball and stuff like that. I played for the East Coast Sox 1 year, and we got to go play like SEC stadiums around the country. So we played at Ole Miss. We played at Duty Noble with Mississippi State. We played Sewell Thomas at Alabama, and the championship was at LSU. So it was sick. That was a great year of baseball.
That's cool. Now you're getting to go to all these places and play shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just circles back around.
It is crazy. I never saw myself doing music. That's part of the coolest. That's the coolest thing to me, because I've always, like I said earlier, like I think I've had more of an appreciation for music than the average person, I would say, growing up, and always had kind of like a little voice in my head that's like, I could probably do this if I tried, but like you never act on it or anything.
Yeah.
And then senior year, you just never know what's going to happen. It's all God just putting you in the right place at the right time. You got to trust him.
Absolutely. There's a plan, and you got to go through those doors.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go through the doors. You never know what's going to happen, but you just got to trust that it's all going to work out, man.
That's right.
So talking about recording your first songs and kind of the process of Miles Morgan, the artist, going from playing cover shows and playing in front of people to people can find my music on Spotify. Now you're almost at the 100,000 monthly listener mark, which is a huge accomplishment,
yes, sir,
for an artist as early into it as you are.
I appreciate
it. Congrats
that.
On that, man.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so the way that I got the ability to record my first song, so it was freshman year, and I was in Tuscaloosa, and I hadn't really started playing a lot of gigs yet. I played the first gig that I ever played in Tuscaloosa was at Rock and Roll Sushi downtown.
Oh, dude, Rock and Roll Sushi.
Yeah, and
big Rock and Roll Sushi guy. I love that.
They don't even do live music.
Yeah,
there.
That's an odd one.
Yeah,
for your first time.
I was just like, I'm going to try to find any place that I can possibly play. Because at the time, I hadn't made a name. No one knew me yet. I was fresh in Tuscaloosa. And I was like, I need to play somewhere. And so I knew the chances of me just immediately going and being the headliner at Rhythm was probably pretty slim when I first got there.
Yeah.
So I went to Rock and Roll Sushi, and I was like, hey, like, I'll bring my fraternity stage in here if you guys let me come up in here and do a solo acoustic. And they're like, okay, sure. So we made it happen. And then one night, I literally went to I'm in a fraternity at Alabama, and I stole the stage that's in the fraternity for band parties and stuff, and drove it in my truck to Rock and Roll Sushi, set it up, and played solo acoustic. All my fraternity brothers came. I was like, guys, come watch tonight. Like, it's my first gig. And so shortly after that, I went to a Larry Fleet concert at Iron City in Birmingham.
God, one of my favorite clubs in the world, Iron City.
It is amazing. I love that place.
So special. Love that place.
And that's another, I got some things to go into.
Yeah.
But So I went to a Larry Fleet concert, and I brought a sign with me that said, "Can I play Where I Find God with you?" Because that I love that song. That's been one of my favorite songs since it came out. And he saw the sign and acknowledged me. And obviously, that's his biggest song, so he's probably not going to let me get up there and play it with him. But he definitely saw me, and he sent his photographer down in the crowd to come get me and bring me backstage after the show. And his photographer happened to be a guy named Matthew Paskert. And Matt Paskert is Morgan Wallen's like primary photographer.
Wow.
And he was just on tour with Larry at the time because Morgan was off tour. So I got to go back there and talk to Larry for 20 minutes and tell him all about Jack and Wayne, because he was super close with Wayne.
Yeah.
And I told him my whole background, and I stayed in touch with Matt and Larry. And I texted Matt like not too long after that, and I was like, "Hey, I'm playing a festival in Tuscaloosa this summer. Can you come shoot me?" And he was like, "Sure." Or he was like, "Well, I would love to, but I'm going to be on tour with Morgan at the time, but I've got a guy who can." So he put me in touch with another guy named Alex Ayala, who was doing Nico Moon's media stuff at the time. And he was like, "Yeah, dude, I'm down. Like, I'd love to come down and shoot some stuff for you. Send me all your stuff." And I was like, "Okay, well, I've got like a YouTube video of me standing up playing solo acoustic, if that works." And he was like, "Holy shit, we need to get you some songs." He was like, "Yeah. Do you have any music?" I was like, "Well, I've got a song written, but I don't know what to do with it." And he was like, "Well, lucky for you, I got some buddies who produce. I'll put you in touch with them. You got to go get a song so you can have some content." I was like, "Okay, like, sounds good to me." So he put me in touch with a couple guys named Clayton Collins and Dalton Wixom. And it's crazy how full circle this is. So Matt Paskert, the original one who was with Larry, he is like best friends and works alongside David Lair, who's Morgan's video guy.
Yeah.
Video guy, media guy. And David is Dalton and Clayton's roommate in Nashville. And they like made Wondering About the Wind with Morgan at their house in their studio. So I got to go up there, and they're buddies with Dominic Frost, who's Morgan's lead guitarist.
Oh, yeah, I know Dom.
Yeah, Dom is a fantastic guy, and he's an incredible guitar player. But I went up there, first time I'd ever been to Nashville, and it was May the 6th, and my birthday's on May the 7th. And so I was turning 20, and I think the day of my birthday, we made the song. And it was Nobody's Fault But Yours. And they were like, "Yeah, we got a buddy named Dom. He plays guitar. Would you be down if he would come in and play?" And I was like, "Yeah, I would love that." So Dom came in the studio, and he hung out with us all day, and we made Nobody's Fault But Yours. And then from there, it was off to the races, and we were making as many songs as we could possibly make. And I'll tell you some more stories about the creation of songs and stuff. But playing Iron City recently was the most full circle moment for me possible.
That you did that. Was that a headlining?
Yes. That was headline show, like shortly a year over when that happened. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, like this is definitely the most full circle moment I've ever had." So, and then when I went to Barefoot Country Music Fest, I saw Larry, he was playing on the same day. And I walked up to him and I was like, "Hey man, I don't know if you remember me." And he was like, "Miles, what's going on, dude?" I was like, "Let's go." So That was a special moment for me too. Larry's super kind, and he's a fun guy to talk to. But that was what started it all.
That's crazy. What an origin story.
Yeah, it's
freaking wild.
It's all God. Like you couldn't try to make that stuff happen. It's all connected, and you never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, but, man, and it's just keeping an open mind and an open heart and letting it happen, man.
Because
there's gonna be struggles. Like, and I'm sure you've seen that already. Like you talked about being on the road and something goes wrong.
Our vans, so far we're like 1 for 6 on van trips. Like there's always something going wrong with them.
But you'll take that because that's part of the plan for the good stuff that happens.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Like
I wouldn't want to get rid of that ever.
Yeah, that's, like don't sweat the small stuff.
No.
Like it could be so much worse.
Oh yeah.
You
it
know?
Could always be way worse.
Yeah, man. So as far as like the songs you've got out, the last one you put out was Still Got It, which seems like it's crushing live, man. That's
seems like
it's gotta be a fun one to play live.
Yeah, that one we were previously walking out to Nobody's Fault But Yours, but the intro to I Still Got It is so fun to listen to. I was like, we need to make that one the new walkout song.
Yeah.
So we did that at Miranda, and we got a cool video of me walking out like, what's going on, West Virginia? With I Still Got It playing. I was like, this is the coolest video I've ever seen.
Yeah, man, there's something important about starting the show off with that high energy and that bang. And a lot of people, when they're opening, will start off with a cover. But for you to have a high energy original that you guys can just hit out of the park, you lock them in.
Right.
Which is great. And then you have the Ain't No Sunshine cover, which you fucking hit out of the park, brother.
Thank you. I love
that, man.
Thank you so much.
You do a lot of justice to that song. So how many songs do you got? What? You got one, two, three, four, five, six. You got six out right now.
Yes, we have six out. We've got a lot in the hopper ready to go.
I'm sure, bro.
The Ain't No Sunshine song was fun to make. That one, that was another one that I've been playing for a long time since I started playing music. When I was learning all the Riley Green songs, I learned Ain't No Sunshine. There's a video of me playing during my first gig, playing Ain't No Sunshine. And so that one has always been pretty special to me. And when we got the full band together, we started covering it live at Rhythm and all the Tuscaloosa bars. And I was like, we should record our own version of this, but make it Southern rock.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of, I don't even know what I would classify myself as an artist yet. I'm still kind of trying to figure out like who I am.
Yeah, dude, you're young, but I would say it's a high energy show.
Mm-hmm.
It has that soulfulness. It has that Southern rock. Like, you're from Alabama. You listen to everything from Riley Green to Skinner to Lil Boozy. You know, like, you guys, and especially being as young as you are, like, our generation has had, and especially your generation, like, you can play any song you want at any time because of Spotify, because of Apple Music. So your interest in what you grow up on is going to be a little mix of everything. So it's like your music can be a little bit of everything.
It's definitely, that's what it is right now. We're just putting out a bunch of different type of stuff to see what sticks and see what people like and see what I like the best for my voice and my style.
Absolutely. But that's the way to do it.
As far as influences go, definitely heavy on Southern rock and country. I was listening to, you know, Jason Aldean, Luke Bryan, 2014, like that was childhood country, Dirt Road Anthem and stuff like that. But then I'm also huge, like Morgan and Florida Georgia Line and Hardy, and that whole group has had a major influence on me. And but I'm also arguably my favorite artist just in general is Post Malone.
Yeah.
Like before he did country, before he was doing any of that, I remember being like 13 years old in or how old are you in middle school? Something like that.
Yeah, like 12, 13, yeah. 14.
And I was listening to Beer Bongs and Bentleys and I was like, this is sick. Like, I love this. Man. And so I'm like, I'm down to make a Beer Bongs and Bentleys type song and put it out. I'm down to make a Southern rock Ain't No Sunshine. I'm down to make a straight country song. So we're just having fun with it. But
yeah, man,
we've got a lot of stuff in the hopper for sure.
Yeah. Do we know when we're looking at anything else before the year? Is the closing of this year focused on touring and getting the team put together?
It's definitely focused on touring, but there will be multiple releases before the before the year.
Let's go.
So there's probably, I would say at least two or three. And then maybe four if we can get them out fast enough.
Tell me about one of those three or four that you're most proud of. I know they're all like your babies, but what's one of the unreleased that we're looking at coming that we're super stoked about?
This one, I don't think this one's going to be next, but I've got one called Never Been Better, and that one is arguably, well, there's two of them that I really like. One of them's Never Been Better, and it's kind of like a slower, like a 6/8 beat.
Okay.
And like, I'm another influence I love, like, I'm obviously a country artist and I'm trying to make my own stuff, but I'm definitely still a fan of other people and what they're doing. And people like Hudson Westbrook and Ella and people that are coming up now, I love all their music and everything they're making, Gavin and everybody. And so I'm taking inspiration from everything. And I was listening to House Again with Hudson. I was like, this is so sick. Like, we need to make something that feels like this.
Yeah.
So, we made Never Been Better, and it's kind of, you think it's going to go one way, and then the chorus hits, and you realize that that's not what the meaning of the song was.
Oh,
it's kind of like I Never Lie with Zach Top.
Yeah.
Like, you're convincing yourself that you've never been better, and maybe that breakup was a good thing, and then you get to the chorus, and it's like, I've never been better at pretending that I'm okay.
Yeah.
So, I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
And then there's another one that we've got called Batting 1,000.
Okay, and, a little baseball. Oh, yeah. I like it.
I've always wanted to write a song that had a lot of baseball references in it, and it's kind of like a more intimate love song type. We're trying to get a female to do a collaboration with me on it because I feel like that would go well. But it's like a train beat, like more intimate, and it's about like this guy and nothing's going right for him, and he's like sarcastically like, man, really batting 1,000 right now. And then he meets a girl and she makes him feel like he's really batting 1,000. And then there's a bunch of baseball references sprinkled in throughout the whole song. So I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. Who'd you write those with?
I wrote Batting 1,000 with a girl named Kennedy Wild. And I wrote Never Been Better with my producers just by myself.
Nice.
But I've written with Cole Taylor now. Cole is awesome. He's kind of taken me under his wing and he's writing with me as much as we can.
Have you gotten to go on the golf course with him yet?
I haven't yet. I've been telling him I want to do that.
He can grip it and rip it.
I believe it.
Him and Tyler Reeve, like that crew of the guys that were in your shoes like 10, 15 years ago, they are some golfing dudes.
Oh, yeah. Every time I see him, he's like, yeah, we just got off the course, and he's still in his golf outfit. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that checks out. But, yeah, recently we wrote with Ray Fulcher and Cole Taylor, and we've got some more stuff. I just met Jack Hummel the other day at Losers.
Dude. I love Jack. So, that's an OG homie. Me and him were at COVID house parties together back in 2020. That's
really?
My dude. Oh, yeah. I've known Jack for probably the last 5-6 years.
That is awesome.
He's good people. And seeing what he's gotten to do with guys like Vincent Mason and Gavin and like Jack Routon's another one, the two Jacks. We always joke about the two of them, J&J. But like that's the power of being up here. It's like you could, in theory, live in Bama and then come up when you need to for recording and meetings. Mm-hmm. But being up here, I always tell people, if you want to win the game, you got to be on the field.
Exactly.
And even though you're from 3.5 hours away, the field is still here. Mm-hmm. And it's important to make those connections and find those friends that you get to create cool stuff with.
For sure. Yeah, you got to have those nights at Red Door and Losers just hanging out, talking to everybody.
Man. Yeah, dude. Well, I look forward to having more of those nights with you, bro.
Oh, yeah, like, same here.
I'm so glad that you're up here. And now getting to do your headlining tour, getting to go out and open for people, what are some things long-term that you're hoping to accomplish? Because you're so young into this to where you've got six songs out right now. You've gotten to be a part of some big festivals. You've gotten to headline the hometown Iron City. Like, you've gotten to do some cool things so early on. But what are like the big picture? I'm sure you're a goals guy. What are like the big long-term goals for you?
Yeah. So, that's a great question. I definitely want to I'm taking it one day at a time. I want to try to stay grounded for now. And I mean, obviously always stay grounded, but you know what I'm saying? Keep my feet where my boots are. And, take it one show at a time. But long-term goals, I would say I want to go on like a, hopefully be direct support for somebody on tour and someone that's, you know, that has been an idol of mine for a little bit or something like that. We've already pretty much gotten to do that, because not go on tour with somebody, but we've been able to have some amazing opening opportunities. But I'd love to go on tour with somebody and just experience a full, like, playing every single day, day in, day out, just grinding it out and having fun, making the most of every show. I want to do that for sure. And then I don't ever want to stop being myself or trying to do what it is that got me into music. I want to keep my head screwed on straight, and I want to, you know, just be very grounded at all times and stay, like, no matter where I'm at or who I'm talking to or how I am, I'm not going to change at all and just be the exact same way that I am when I'm talking to you right now. And I don't know, like, I don't want to stop for anything. I want to keep going, shoot for the stars. And if that means in 5 years we're playing stadium tours, then we're playing stadium tours. I'm down for it. But I'm just going to see where it takes me. I don't know.
What would the dream, say you got to be, like, I look back on the Jason Aldean Night Train tour where it was like Thomas Rhett opening for Jayco and Morgan. Who would be your two dream guys or girls, or like your dream like acts to be that first young kid on the tour?
I would say, I mean, it's hard for me not to say Morgan. Morgan's probably, he's been my favorite artist for a while. And then Bailey's another one that I've always kind of like resonated with. I feel like his style of music and mine is pretty similar. Tucker would be another one that I would love to be with. I'd love to have a song with Tucker. I think that'd be super cool. And then, like I said earlier, Post Malone. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, they're all very attainable. I think the pairing of Bailey and Tucker is really cool. Have you gotten to meet Bailey yet?
I met Bailey one time at the Floor Bama. It was Sand in My Boots Fest weekend, and I met him over there.
I bet the Bama was crazy that weekend.
Oh my gosh, it was ridiculous. The two craziest times I've seen the floor Bama was Sand in My Boots Fest, and then when Post Malone played in late 2024, he played a concert at the Wharf, and that was the first time. That was like the best night of my life. That was so much fun because I didn't even know if I was gonna go to that concert or not. I'd had a busy week previously, and I was like tired and didn't really want to drive from Tuscaloosa to Orange Beach. But it was Post Malone, and I was like, screw it, I'll just go because you know you don't know what can happen. And I didn't have a ticket or anything. I was just like, I'll go get a GA ticket when I get there, and you know it'll be fun to watch Post Malone. But I rode with Tripp, the guy who I told you about earlier, played baseball with me, and I was just kind of hanging out with him all day, and he invited me to go hang out with him on the boat before the show, and I got to meet Chandler Walters on the boat.
Oh, one of the best dudes, man. He's so awesome. I used to help sneak that kid in the Red Door when he first got to town. I knew pre-21 Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was the quiet kid from Georgia, now he's a king.
Oh, yeah. So I met Chandler.
Love that guy.
That day, and I got to meet Posty's band, and then I just kind of stuck with all the guys, and I was like, at some point, I was like, okay, I gotta like go home or go back to my parents or go find a ticket somewhere. And John like came up to me and he was like, I got a wristband for you, and I was like, oh my gosh, you're the best. So I got to hang out with him, and we were in the green room together pre-show. Got to meet Posty and talk to him like just for 30 minutes, have a down-to-earth conversation with him. And one of the coolest memories, and Chandler was in there too, and one of the coolest memories that I think I'll ever have is singing I Never Lie with Post Malone in the green room before the show. It came on the speakers, and he was like, well, it's been some time. And then he did like this. I was like, you still look like an angel. And I was like, this is the coolest moment of all time. But that was a great night. And then after the show, we went back to the floor Bama, and got to party with him, and he got up on stage. Chandler played that night, and Chandler also played Sand in My Boots Fest weekend at the floor Bama. He kills it every time. And that was a cool moment.
Yeah. You could put a whole list together, like write a short book about what you've gotten to do so far, and you're just getting started, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It's freaking exciting stuff, man. It's awesome. What have been some of your favorite spots in Nashville? Like, you a big food guy?
I haven't had a lot of time to figure out what my favorite spots are yet. Obviously everything on Division right there is really good. Yeah. Like Velvet's super good, especially if you've had a night at Losers and you head over to Velvet, nothing better.
Yeah.
And then, there's a lot of taco places.
Yes.
A lot. Like,
yeah, the Mexican restaurants here, which I figured moving to the South, there'd be some, but coming from New York, it's like, damn, you guys love your Mexican food in the South. Like, what's the one? Is it Pablo's in Birmingham?
Yeah, there's a Pablo's, and then just a million small little Mexican restaurants that just have a Spanish name.
Yeah, because Nashville's got a ton of them. Like, mm-hmm. Cinco de Mayo, Las Palmas, those are two of my, like, favorites that are around here.
Palmas is great. I just had that the other day.
Yeah, that was where the inception of... That's how this podcast started, was me and a buddy talking at Las Palmas about how I wanted to... Because I used to work in radio, so I moved down here wanting to do that, and 23, the only gig I could get was bouncing at Dirk Bentley's bar. So I was a bouncer and a podcaster when I moved here. But it started over Chips and Queso at Las Palmas, over by over on 8th Avenue.
Yeah, that's so sick.
Las Palmas, bro. That's where it all started for me.
I'm about to go try Peg Leg Barbecue.
Peg Leg's good. Yeah. I like the cigar. My favorite cigar spot in town's over there too. I don't know if you're a cigar guy or not, but
I actually have asthma. Fun fact about me.
Oh, so no cigars, no smoking.
So no smoking, no vaping, no cigars, no nothing.
That's smart.
Yeah, I'll have a few beers now, but legally.
Yeah, what's it been like turning 21 and being in Nashville? Like, that's the perfect time, it feels like, to move here.
That was, I spent my 21st, like, doing it all. I was at Losers for the first half and then went to Broadway and did the traditional 21st birthday, gauntlet or whatever you want to call it. But, that was not a fun next day, but it was a fun night for sure.
I bet, dude. I bet. That's wild, man. Well, dude, I'm so excited for you. I'm so proud to like have you as like a member of our like Raised Rowdy family. Like, I can't wait to see where all of this freaking takes you.
It's an honor to be involved, dude. Like, I appreciate you so much. You've been nothing but great to me, and everybody that I've met has been amazing.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a town where people help people, and mm-hmm. good folks find good folks, man. So it's been awesome, and can't wait to see you and your family in a couple weeks out at one of our shows, man. We're doing a big showcase for AIBA, which is going to be awesome over there in Midtown. So it's going to be sick to have you and the boys rip it. But I got a bunch of hats over there. Feel free to take as many as you want if you want to take some for the guys in the band or
heck
whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you home with an 8-pack of these now that you are legally 21.
There we go.
An 8-pack of Surfside. Shout out to our friends from Surfside. No bubbles, no troubles. It's not seltzer. It's a Surfside. For more on us, visit RazorEye.com. Also, check out our man, Miles Morgan. If you're in the Southeast, I know a lot of people in SEC country watch this. Shout out to all my friends in Statesboro, in Milledgeville, in Athens. Like, get out there and get a ticket. You want to be able to say you saw this kid at the 40 Watt, at Eddie's Addict, at Southern Social, at Wendell's. Because one day you're going to be seeing him in a damn stadium. You're going to be seeing him in an amphitheater. He's got it going on. Get on the train now while he's playing at the small club level and be at his first headlining tour. They can get him on your website, I'm guessing?
Yes. All of the tickets are available on the website. And my Instagram too. So
sick. Awesome. Well, for my man Miles, I'm Matt Brill. This has been Outside the Round.
Never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks up my sleeve, they usually just make them leave. So if you